This is Switzerland calling. On the occasion of Red Cross Day 1958, the Swiss Shortwave Service now takes pleasure in presenting The Red Cross Around the Globe, a special documentary feature program produced by Lance Channon in cooperation with the International Committee of the Red Cross and the League of Red Cross Societies in Geneva.
The principles of the Red Cross have been firmly anchored in international conventions that are accepted by all civilized nations, and the various countries in their turn have adapted the idea to their own national needs and requirements. Here is Mr. Henry W. Dunning, the Secretary General of the League of National Red Cross Societies, who will explain what the Red Cross means to North America.
At the first Geneva diplomatic conference in August 1864, but one continent other than Europe was represented at the historic international session which drafted the first Geneva Convention. It was North America, and the representative was an observer from the United States appointed by President Abraham Lincoln. Since that time, although the formal founding of the American and Canadian Red Cross Societies did not take place until a few years later, the peoples of North America have not ceased to be deeply interested in and warm supporters of the idea conceived by Henry Dunant.
Mr. J. de Rueda, the Mexican delegate of the Red Cross in Geneva, speaks for the Latin American nations.
The call from Geneva, addressed to all people of goodwill to come to aid of the fellow beings in need, has found a lively echo in Latin America, and this reaction has been demonstrated by facts and, for example, in the person of Anna Neri, the Brazilian Florence Nightingale. This shows that the ideal has been well understood. The Latin American nations fully appreciate the non-discriminating, non-political character of the Red Cross, as well as its neutrality, as the basis for better understanding, both in times of peace and of regional war.
Mr. Martin Bodmer, Vice President of the International Committee of the Red Cross, has just returned from a visit to New Zealand.
In New Zealand, the appeal that we are all brothers has fallen on fruitful ground indeed, and is being applied in a most impressive manner. In my estimation, the assimilation of the Maoris, the original inhabitants of New Zealand, into the national community may well serve for the whole world as an example how people of two entirely different races can live harmoniously with each other. This process of assimilation is demonstrated by the fact that the Maoris are taking an active part in the work of the New Zealand Red Cross.
How well the idea of the Red Cross has taken root even on the other side of the world, we hear from SBC's own correspondent, Russell Henderson, who is presently in Australia.
On this vast island continent of the Southern Hemisphere, 10 million Australians have good reason to remember Red Cross, and many of them to work for it. The Flying Doctor Service, organized to bring help over the great semi-desert lands of the inland, brings life-giving blood for transfusion to the injured and ill, and that comes, of course, from the Red Cross Blood Bank. The first responsibility of the Australian Red Cross is to ex-servicemen and women. Up to 11,000 a year are still being helped in various ways. And ex-servicemen remember the help in the field and in base hospitals given by the Red Cross during the war. Prisoners of War remember the Prisoners of War Bureau of the International Committee of the Red Cross in Geneva, too.
How about Soviet Russia, you may wonder? Mr. Melchior Borsinger of the International Committee of the Red Cross was there recently.
In the Soviet Union, the Red Cross is a mass organization fully integrated into the life of the whole nation. Amongst its various activities, which it shares with those of all other Red Cross societies, those concerning public health are perhaps the most highly developed. There is hardly a factory, a kolkhoz, or a school in Russia which does not have its own Red Cross team or its own first aid station. Acting under strict medical supervision, the members of these teams, who are all volunteers, not only have to offer first aid and advice in case of accidents or illness, but also have to watch over the cleanliness of premises, over the sanitary conditions of work, and over the observance of the basic principles of hygiene among their colleagues in class or in the factory. In so doing, and by being at all times ready to help his neighbour in need and to watch over his own health and physical well-being, even the most humble Red Cross worker can contribute to the creation of a climate of peace amongst men.
The idea of the Red Cross has also spread throughout the Far East, and Mr. Siorday, another vice president of the International Committee of the Red Cross, can tell us what he found in China.
What struck me as particularly interesting with regard to the position of the Red Cross in China is that it's very similar in many ways to that of the Red Cross in Soviet Russia. War is not the only source of suffering to which humanity is exposed. To the destructions caused by man himself must be added the disasters wrought by nature. And certainly in that respect, China has suffered hardships through epidemics, floods, famines, and other calamities, which are truly in proportion to the immensity of that country. It's therefore not surprising that in the fight against natural disasters, carried on by the government of the Chinese People's Republic, the Chinese Red Cross finds its most important task. If today the annual toll in human lives which China has to pay for all sorts of diseases has been reduced, and if dreadful scourges like cholera and the plague have been practically wiped out in regions where they've been reigning for generations, then the Red Cross may well pride itself to have contributed greatly to this achievement.
What is the significance of the Red Cross for Africa and the Arab world, where right now the need for unselfish help is perhaps greatest? Mr. Ibrahim Zreikat, who is in charge of Arab broadcasts from the Red Cross in Geneva, is intimately acquainted with the situation in that part of the world.
Today, practically all Muslim countries have their national Red Crescent organizations whose colors are the same as the flag of Switzerland, even though the emblem is different. During the tragic events in Palestine, the delegates of the International Committee of the Red Cross distributed, often at the risk of their own lives, relief to Arab refugees. Immediate help was brought to the victims of the conflict of Suez, and prisoners of war were aided and later repatriated by the Red Cross also. The present relief actions in North Africa, carried out in full cooperation between the International Committee, the League of Red Cross Societies, and the regional Red Crescent organizations, not only served as a means of acquainting the young Arab nations with the idea of Henri Dunant through practical achievements, they also carry weight as a positive manifestation of the whole world undertaking in the interest of Arab people.
The last word belongs to Mr. Leopold Boissier, the president of the International Committee of the Red Cross in Geneva.
From Geneva, bridges have been built on the solid foundation of a common humanitarian ideal, spanning the gulfs between races, creeds, social classes, and political beliefs. Today, 80 national Red Cross societies, with a total of more than 125 million members, are working for this common aim, the alleviation of human suffering in peace as well as in war.
You have just heard The Red Cross Around the Globe, a documentary feature production by Lance Channon, presented in honor of Red Cross Day 1958.